buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my producer-engineer Ray Allen. Ray is on the other side of the glass, but together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, March 7th, 2017. Hope you're off to a pretty darn good week. We are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We have worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Well, since 1965, the Tucson Committee on Foreign Relations has been providing a forum for some very interesting discussions on foreign policy issues. This month's gathering is tonight and features a discussion on Saudi Arabia with Simon Henderson. Mr. Henderson, the Baker Fellow and Director of Gulf and Energy Policy at the nonprofit Washington Institute. He is a former BBC and Financial Times correspondent. Mr. Henderson reported from Iran during the 1979 Islamic Revolution and seizure of the U.S. Embassy. He joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Simon, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, and it's good to speak to you.
Thank you very much. Tell me a little bit about when the king will be arriving in Washington, I believe later this month, his first visit, the king from Saudi Arabia. Do you anticipate a major shift from the Obama administration's direction toward the kingdom and the Trump administration?
Well, these are the key questions. The king was here during the here in the United States and visited Washington during the Obama administration, but this will be the first time he's met Donald Trump. He's currently on a extensive tour of Asia, and so there might be a question mark of whether he will have enough energy to get to Washington. But my understanding is he's hoping to be in Washington towards the end of March. And it's a very important relationship for him, and it's also a very important relationship for the United States. And so how this meeting plays out will be fascinating, because these sort of meetings are all about personal chemistry.
And how would you characterize the relationship during the Obama administration? The Saudis did have some expansionist ideas in Yemen. What's the latest on that?
Well, the Obama administration on Saudi Arabia went from relatively good to bad. And it wasn't terribly clear why this was the case. But there was this major article in the Atlantic magazine, which was headlined The Obama Doctrine, a couple of years ago. And this was an extraordinary article because Saudi Arabia was the most criticized by Obama in speaking to the reporter on this, and frankly, more criticized than countries like Russia or North Korea or anything like this. So this will be a fascinating one for the Trump administration and how they see it's going to be going forward. As we well know, the Trump administration is very much a blank sheet on foreign policy. We will perhaps discover the latest in a tweet tomorrow morning. But in the meantime, what appears to be the case is that President Trump does realize the importance of the relationship with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia sees itself as the leader of the Islamic world, the leader of the Arab world, and a leader by virtue of its huge oil reserves of the energy world. So it's not a country which President Trump can ignore. But having said that, it's a challenging relationship. It's based on a lot of nuance and also quite a lot of tension. I don't have to remind anybody that 15 out of the 19 hijackers on 9/11 were Saudis. And this was because they were disaffected from the regime, yet imbibed with Islamic radicalism. And the consequences were the attacks on 9/11. So what President Trump will be trying to do will be to make sure that that sort of thing never happens again. And although, you know, it's hard to say that Saudi Arabia is ever going to really become anything like the United States, there will have to be a firm understanding of what we expect from Saudi Arabia, and we have to indicate to Saudi Arabia what we want from them.
Simon Henderson is with us. He is with the nonprofit Washington Institute. He'll be speaking tonight to the Tucson Committee on Foreign Relations. How much oil are we still getting from Saudi Arabia, Simon?
We're getting a bit. The Saudis have a couple of oil refineries in Texas, so they send some of their own oil to those refineries. But we don't need Saudi oil, and because we could get it from other places. The Saudis want to send it to the United States because it gives them a reason to go and to come to talk to Washington. Even though in the sheer commerciality of it, it's such a long way from the Arabia around Africa to Texas, that it's hardly a commercial way of selling the oil. But they, the Saudis think it gives them access, frankly, it does.
All right, we have two callers, Simon, and I've got about only 4 minutes, so let's try to get both of their questions on the air. Dale, you're up first. Go ahead, please, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to ask an opinion of why the Saudis don't help some of these refugees all over the world, thousands of them, and they're Muslim, yet they're not helping. I don't understand. That's just my question. Thank you.
Well, I fear you do understand, because it's because they see refugees as potential troublemakers and so don't want them in their own country. And frankly, it's not just the Saudis, it's the other Gulf states as well, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Oman. One would have thought that this is a natural place for the Syrian refugees to go, but the Saudis and these other states don't agree on that. So we can't make them take refugees. We can twist their arm to make sure that they pay for refugee camps and refugee processing.
Let's go back to the live line. Our friend Jim is called. I believe it's Jim Kelly. Go ahead, Jim. You're with Simon Henderson.
Thank you, Bill. Mr. Henderson, is there any hint that the Trump doctrine or the Trump administration will be much like what it's doing with NATO? In other words, wanting NATO to pay more of its fair share. Do you think that Trump will want the Saudis to pay up a little bit more for the cost of Gulf security that the United States provides most of?
Good question. Go ahead, Sam.
An excellent question, and I suspect it could well be the case. The United States already makes a considerable amount of money out of Saudi Arabia by sending them a lot of weapons, aircraft, helicopters, you name it. The Saudis have got the best. Whether they can operate them properly is another question, of course. That's a good commercial aspect to the relationship. But we also have the Fifth Fleet in the Persian Gulf trying to keep the area stable. Running a fleet with a couple of aircraft carriers is not a cheap thing. I dare say that President Trump will remind the Saudis of this, perhaps tell them what it costs, and perhaps suggest to them a check or two would be very nice. Thank you very much.
All right. Simon Henderson, thank you very much. Can we find more information by just Googling Washington Institute, who you are associated with?
Yes, you can. That's certainly the case. And I'm click on the experts at the top and you'll come to me. And also, if you if you Google Simon Henderson Saudi, you come up with a ridiculous number of entries. So if you, which will keep you very busy for many years to come.
All right. Simon, thank you very much, and welcome to Tucson, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Simon Henderson, former BBC and Financial Times correspondent with us on the live line. The Buckmaster Show wants to thank Green Things, one of our fine sponsors, for their support of our program. They're located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website, beautiful website, lots of good gardening information at greenthingsaz.com. The weather is going to be pushing into almost 90 degrees, so this certainly will be spring gardening time this weekend, and a visit to Green Things would certainly be in order. Just a bit past 12:15, Shelley Fishman is with me in studio, giving me a thumbs kind of down on the market. We'll find out what Shelley's got for us right after this. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, TUSD board member Dr. Mark Stegeman. Then we talk with New York Times bestselling writer J.A. Jantz. She'll talk about her new book. And this weekend's Tucson Festival of Books. Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening podcasts. And we have 6 years of programs archived for you on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Nothing that says I can't give a recommendation, which I do freely, to Mr. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, good to have you back in the studio. You had some very important investor meetings last Tuesday, but we had a very good session.
We did.
Telephonically. And but it's always nothing beats someone seated right across from you in studio. Have we kind of reached maybe the end of the Trump honeymoon, or whatever you call it, on Wall Street?
Well, I think what's happened is that investors have stopped the forward momentum in this irrational exuberance of allowing the markets to climb higher and higher without seeing actual performance on the part of the government in terms of tax cuts and infrastructure spending.
Good faith rally.
Yep. I like that.
But, you know, the New York Times had an interesting piece about an idea you presented here on our program. You have been talking about a National Service Corps. Hey, your idea is out there. And
well, I hope so.
It was written about in the Sunday New York Times.
Actually, it was Saturday. Roger Cohen.
Oh, Saturday.
In Saturday's, I think I misled you on that one. But in Saturday's New York Times, Roger Cohen, who's one of the New York Times more centrist columnists and op-ed contributors, tried to tackle the question of why it is that the coastal elites and the flyover people in the center can't seem to communicate with each other. And he talks, I think, very succinctly about the fact that there are two countries and that in fact, title of the piece was Travel Abroad in Your Own Country.
Yeah, I mean, look at the way things are. It is like
right.
two countries.
Yeah, you're just there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of commonality.
Mm-hmm.
And so he talks about that and he said, "Well, why should there be? We never get together. We never interface with each other." And he comes upon an interesting idea. He said, "You know, if we had a national service corps where people who were 18 to 28 were either required or induced to serve, that those two parts of the country would indeed be thrown together in common service around the country, and that would in fact go a long way toward bridging the gap." And that was one of the things we talked about when I talked about a National Service Corps, where Roger Cohen goes one step further than I went in thinking this through, was he comes up with a way of paying for it. He says, "Look, you know, one of the things we really need to do in paying for this is finding the proper incentives to get people to sign up for this."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "If we were to put $10,000 in an account for every newborn,"
mm-hmm.
"starting now,"
mm-hmm.
"Over the next 18 years, it would cost, about $20 billion. Actually, I think it's $40 billion if you did $10,000, $20 billion if you did $5,000. And let those accounts compound."
Mm-hmm.
"And then when a person is 18 years old, they would have the option from the time they were 18 to the time they were 28 to use that money for education or training or whatever, but only on the condition that they were to serve in a National Service Corps for a year or two."
Hmm.
And that is a very fascinating, I think, an interesting way of approaching this question of, number one, how do you pay for it? But number two, what is the mechanism? From my perspective, I said make it mandatory. What he is saying is make it optional. Now, the reason I don't think his plan will work quite as well as he'd like it to is because the so-called eastern and, you know, or coastal elites who could afford not to take that fund that would be made available to him wouldn't use it.
Right.
And so you wouldn't see them there. On the other hand, lots of people would. So what I like about it, and by the way, Tom Brokaw 2 weeks ago on, I think it was Morning Joe, also talked about a National Service Corps because he was lamenting the fact that we're fighting our wars and doing national service with 1% of our population. And he didn't think that was a very sound way to build the kind of cohesiveness in the country that appears to be breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea, discussion around the idea is becoming, you know, hopefully from my perspective, a little bit more upfront.
Yeah, like less than 1% actually do or have served in our military.
Yeah, and they don't believe, when they come back, they don't believe that they can integrate well back into civilian life.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be a gap in the way they communicate with, you know, the rest of the people around them. Mm-hmm. I can tell you from the, you know, the period of time that I spent on active duty, when I got back, it took some adjustment, and I never saw combat.
Mm-hmm.
But my respect for civilian authority had to be reestablished.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can only imagine if you've done eight or more years, 12, 16 years in the military and several deployments, that it'd be very difficult to find some common ground with people who hadn't done anything like that.
And during the Depression, of course, the Civilian Conservation Corps was a unifying factor for many young people, bringing young people from all over the country together.
Absolutely.
And then later, and of course, World War II, we got to know very quickly our young people, their friends, neighbors, all over the country.
Yes.
They were thrown together.
And then we came up with the GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Which meant that if you had served, you were given not only the opportunity but the incentive to then go and get higher education. And that actually fueled the avalanche of scientific and business progress that went on after World War II. It was this whole greatest generation, the baby boomers, who were able to get educated and paid for. And I joke about the fact that when I entered college in 1962, it was City College. It was a fine university system, and it was free to residents.
Yes.
Yeah, and the draft, the idea of a military draft comes up every so often. And you think back to the Vietnam War, so many of the people who wound up, as they say, in country, overseas, were very poor people.
Those who couldn't afford to pay their way into a reserve unit.
And into a reserve unit or get a college.
A bone spur in your foot.
Or a college deferment.
Right.
So
that's how I wound up in the service because I very quickly, I was 16, I was too young to be in college, I flunked out, and I was draft bait. I mean, there was just no way I was going to avoid that draft, and we were poor, so I couldn't.
You
buy
didn't
my
have
way.
A lot of choices.
We
basically.
Didn't have a lot of choices.
But
that's
we certainly thank you, Shelley, for your service in the United States Marine Corps. So, Shelley, what should we look for here in the upcoming weeks with our market?
Well, I think what we're going to see is more flatlining, unless we see some craziness go on that indicates that the administration is not going to get what they have proposed in terms of short-term policies from the Congress. You know, one of the things you have to really distinguish here is whether or not you agree that these are good policies, and we had some discussion about this last week. In the short term, $1 trillion worth of infrastructure spending is stimulative. In the short term, there will be an incentive for corporations, for whom regulations have been relaxed to invest. Because if they don't start investing, you know, people will question very, very quickly why we're doing this. So same thing with tax cuts, especially if they're middle class tax cuts, people are going to spend those. So it's stimulative. Now, you know how I feel about a dashboard, about mm-hmm. needing measurements. Mm-hmm. But clearly, if that starts to look like it's going to kind of be delayed over and over and over again, then I think
that will
what
slow down.
Investors will look at is corporate performance. Mm-hmm. And if corporate performance doesn't improve, mm-hmm. then we'll start seeing the kind of normalized measurements used. And right now we're at the very upper end of where those normalized measurements would allow the market to be.
Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Find out more at buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Shelley, and he does return phone calls. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Do you have flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amo Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found at the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The temperatures here in Tucson are be pushing 90 degrees. That means up at the 7,000 foot level there in Silver City. Oh man, it's going to be beautiful, like 60-some degrees. It'll be a great weekend. Take a road trip, southwestnewmexico.org. Looked at their website last night. So much information. This time of year, there's some great birding in the Gila National Forest. So just, again, 3 hours east of Tucson, southwestnewmexico.org for the full listing of places to stay and things to do. Time for our monthly segment on your medication. We call it Your Meds. The segment features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former UA College of Medicine dean, founder and now president emeritus of the Tucson-based CPATH, the Critical Path Institute. Dr. Woosley's latest creation is CredibleMeds.org, one of the world's most trusted sources of medicine and information about medicine. The website alone is visited each day by people from 180 countries. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
Yeah, one of these, one of the health articles that I saw that caught my eye is that President Trump has been talking about, actually he castigated the Federal Food and Drug Administration for, quote, a slow and burdensome process for approving drugs. Is that true?
Well, it's true that he castigated
them. Yeah, he castigated
them. Right? But it's not true that it's
some are saying it's faster than ever.
Well, I think people hear these numbers and they start with this attitude. You know, I call the FDA the sort of the Rodney Dangerfield of government agencies. They don't get any respect. And a lot of the things you hear on TV is that it takes decades to get a drug approved. That's not true. It takes decades to get a drug developed. The approval process is really quite quick. And people don't realize that the FDA has negotiated with the drug industry a user fee. So they sit down and negotiate that they will review a new drug within 8 to 10 months if it's an average drug, and more quickly if it's a special drug. And you don't realize that the average, if you were to print out an application for a new drug, it does fill a semi-trailer truck. Mm. It's actually that much.
Wow.
And the FDA has a rule that they look at every sheet of paper in that truck. And they do that because they continually find that there's something in there that they needed to find, that there was something being hidden or not done the way they said it was. So it's to do that in 8 months is a remarkable process.
But we hear this, and I guess it's a myth then that people are actually dying because the FDA review of new drugs delays the life-saving treatment.
Well, you hear that all the time. But in fact, as I said, the drugs are reviewed quite quickly. And in special cases, if you have an illness, and even if the drug's not on the market, your doctor can call the FDA and they can get that medicine within 24 hours.
Really?
And that's what they call the compassionate use protocol. But drugs for rare diseases, there's a rare disease called spinal muscular atrophy. The drug was approved in 3 months. Mm. And, you know, the AIDS drugs were approved 2 weeks after they got the application. Now, they had a jump start on that, but within 2 weeks, they were able to make these decisions. So it's the development process, something I'm very proud that CPATH is making great progress on. They're shortening the amount of time it takes, the decades, to get a drug tested because they're improving the testing methods. And that's where the real delay is.
And that's one of the reasons, I believe, that you got involved with the creation of the Critical Path Institute was to speed up this process.
Exactly. Not speed up the review.
And has it paid off?
Oh, in amazing ways. You know, the best evidence of that is a very large amount of support for CPATH comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And that's because they are developing drugs for the developing world. And they want drugs for TB and malaria. So they see the Critical Path Institute as helping them work with industry to get these drugs available more quickly. So yes, it's working, and it's right here in Tucson. I think they're like 75 employees now. They've doubled in the last few years, and they're making a difference. But it's a quiet difference. You know, you don't develop consortia and develop collaborations by touting your own horn, and that's what they do. They keep quietly and attract the essential people to make the process work better.
We often hear that drug companies don't want the FDA to review their products. Is that false?
It is false because they use the FDA approval to market their drugs. I mean, who would take a drug today that – and all drugs have risks. They all have side effects. That's just – you got to accept that. So do you want a drug that the side effects are unknown, or do you want one that the FDA has looked at and says there's more benefit than risk here? And that's essential for the marketing of the drugs. I mean, the trial lawyers would love to have the FDA go away, but the FDA provides a very important service to industry. And the industry is lobbying every day to get more people hired at the FDA. You know, at the FDA today, if a physician is offered a job, they cannot start work until 9 months because of the bureaucracy of getting a government appointment and getting hired by the government. So it's not the FDA, it's that it's the core of the problem here.
And we often hear that the FDA is overstaffed. It's a government bureaucracy that could use some trimming. What about that?
They are one of the leanest. You know, their annual budget is about $2 million.
$2 billion. Okay.
The NIH budget is about $30 billion. So we spend $30 billion on science to get new drugs, and we only spend about $2 billion to see if they are worth getting on the market. And the drug industry pays another $2 billion. So we have a good deal with the FDA. They approve 80% of everything we touch every day. Our food, our medicines, our devices, and for $2 billion, that's a pretty good buy.
Let's talk a little bit about CredibleMeds.org. What about, are you making it easier for those that are in the healthcare profession to check out a particular dangerous drug?
We are really pleased to announce that this month we now have an Apple iOS app, an Android app, and a Windows mobile app available free to anyone who wants to download it. And that allows them to check the medicines that they may be worried about or taking if they're patients to see if they're on our list of drugs to avoid if you have special conditions. If you have it tells you if the drug has a very special risk of causing heart toxicity and heart arrhythmias. And it's the beginning. We want to have this kind of an app that handles all side effects, but that's now available free, and we encourage any healthcare provider who worries about the medicines they prescribe to download it and keep it available when they're making decisions.
All right. We do have a call, and let's see if we can work that call in here very quickly because I've only got about 1 minute. Terry is with us. Go ahead, Terry.
Hi. Thank you, doctor, for appearing. The question I have is, my generics now are all coming out of India. And it's really kind of concerning to me because I go to the web pages and they say, oh, there's all this quality and stuff. How could the FDA watch stuff that's going out of India? And I'll take the question off the air, doctor.
Thank you, Terry.
Terry, thanks. That's an excellent question, and it's a concern that everybody has, including the FDA. And they've had to actually hire people in China and India to inspect these plants, and they do. Mm-hmm. So if your pharmacy is buying a generic drug manufactured anywhere in the world, the FDA has inspected those plants. Now, the problem is there are numerous counterfeits out there. A lot of the drugs we import from Canada were manufactured outside of the U.S. in non-FDA-inspected factories. So generic drugs are, if they're approved by the FDA, they meet the standards, at least meet and sometimes exceed the standards of the original manufacturer.
Before we go, don't forget it's not too late for a flu shot, because I've been hearing, Dr. Woosley, that it may not be as widespread, but when people are getting it, it's pretty bad.
It is. And I think that's something we should talk about sometime is the vaccines in general, because there's still a lot of people misinformed about vaccines. They save lives. They're safe. They're tested by the FDA. And there's vaccines for shingles now, pneumonia that people can get, vaccines that can prevent cancer.
So, well, maybe we can get into that in one of your upcoming months.
Let's talk about that.
Credible Meds website, check it out, crediblemeds.org. Dr. Woosley, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we'll be right back.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Did you know you can still donate through Tax Day to Arizona Qualified Charities and claim dollar-for-dollar state tax credits for 2016? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show Arts Report, sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown. That would be the Fox Tucson Theater on Saturday, March 11th. That's coming up this Saturday. Fox Theater welcomes international countertenor and Grammy Award nominee Terry Barber in the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Then on March 14th, multi-Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Michael Bolton comes to town, brings his soulful voice and compelling lyrics to the Fox stage. To purchase tickets and find out more information about the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber, starring Terry Barber, this Saturday, March 11th, and Michael Bolton performing March 14th, and then Madeline Perot and Ricky Lee Jones teaming up to perform at the Fox on March 16th, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now Margaret Regan, the longtime, I believe going back to 1991 when she started writing about arts for the Tucson, 1990 started writing about arts for the Tucson Weekly. She's also a very successful author of two prize-winning books on immigration. The latest is titled Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. That has gotten tremendous reviews, very critically acclaimed. Margaret, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Yeah, thanks for asking. It's interesting you should bring up my book, because very often I give talks about, you know, what happens to immigrants who have been detained and deported. And I can't tell you how many times before I've given a talk, someone in the audience will have it planned in advance that they sing the Woody Guthrie song, All They Will Call You Is Deportees. And of all things, what I wrote about for the Weekly this week is a book about that song, which is based on a true story of a plane crash in 1948 in which 28 deportees were killed. And in the news coverage at the time, the papers didn't name any of the names of the deportees. They just gave the names of the pilot and the co-pilot and the immigration guard on board. And the rest of them were just called deportees. They became anonymous lost people.
Yeah, and that book is called All They Will Call You, and it's by a critically acclaimed author, Tim Z, like zebra, Hernandez.
Yeah.
And that book is published by our friends over at the University of Arizona Press.
Yeah, yeah, it's wonderful. This guy, Tim, you know, he, as you say, he's a critically acclaimed author. He's written fiction and poetry. But he was researching a book in the archives in Fresno, and he came across this old newspaper. And he got to thinking, you know, who were these 28 people? We never had their names. And he said, somebody should write a book about it, you know, never thinking it would be himself. But as luck would have it, it turned out he lived very close to the cemetery where they were buried in a mass grave in 1948, and he went over there to see it, an anonymous plaque, you know, unknown, 28 dead. So he got very involved in researching it, and it's a wonderful piece of detective work. It, you know, it's a detective story, really, how he figured out who these people were, and even more wonderfully, was able to find their families.
Wow.
In some cases, elderly people now who were small children when their parents were killed in the plane crash. And he's written this wonderful book that's partly interviews with the family members, part detective story. and part imagining, because, of course, you know, as a novelist, someone who writes fiction, he's good at that, and we can't really know what the thoughts of these people were, but it's a meticulously put-together book, and I wrote about it this week in the Weekly because it's a kind of a preview for our big book festival coming up on Saturday and Sunday, and I'm going to have the pleasure of interviewing Tim Hernandez Saturday afternoon at the festival, so I'm so happy I got to read the book and write about it beforehand in the Weekly.
He will be with you on a panel that you'll be moderating, and is that at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon over at the Book Festival?
Yeah, that's correct, and our own Dr. Raquel Rubio Goldsmith, a wonderful historian here in Tucson, will be on it too. And then another author, Maceo Montoya, who's coming to us from Davis, California. So the three of them will be speaking about Chicano history and migrant deaths and everything that's swirling around us right now with the immigration debate.
So you're certainly going to have a role at the book festival, which has become the third largest book festival in the United States.
I know.
In less than 10 years. I believe this is year 7 or 8, and it's amazing. And so, I mean, the way this thing has taken off, Tucson has embraced this, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, it'll be great. And this man, Tim Hernandez, he's going to be on four separate panels.
Wow.
And one of them for aspiring writers might be a lot of fun on Sunday afternoon. He's going to give a writing workshop, just him talking about how do you become a writer. And I guess people are going to be asked to, you know, contribute and give their ideas. And that sounds really great. That'll be at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Early in my career, I spent time as the news director at a radio station in the Central Valley, Visalia, California, very close to, in Tulare County, very close to that, where that I had heard of this plane crash, and that it was just so strange that at the time they would not identify all of the victims.
Isn't that something? And because, as it turns out, Spanish language newspapers at the time did identify the victims. So the information was there to be had, and yet they were buried in this Catholic cemetery, you know, with full Catholic honors, because, of course, most of them were Catholics. They were Mexican immigrants. But even then, they didn't bother to get those names.
Mm.
I did find out that the Fresno Bee, which is a very good paper, in
yes,
the second day story, they did get the names of the deportees. But, you know, the story went national, and everybody based their story on the original one coming out of the town, Coalinga.
Coalinga, yeah.
Yeah, in New York Times, everybody, they just said, oh, yes, 28 deportees. And nobody thought that was odd at the time that you would fail to name 28 victims. And one of the things that I really like about the book is that Tim also writes just as fully about the four Americans who were named but who died on the plane. Very tragic stories. And as he says, you know, every death matters. The pilot and the stewardess were a young married couple. They'd only been married 8 months. You know, and they had the tragic loss of them. But he also investigates their family backgrounds. The young woman, her mother was a Polish refugee. And the immigration guard, Tim goes way back with his genealogy. His great-great-great-great-whatever was an indentured servant who came from England to work in America's fields, just as these immigrants who died on the plane did. So he said, you know, in many ways, we all have the same history.
Quickly, I've only got about 2 minutes, and you have the Irish thing going.
Yes, I do.
March Madness Irish style in the Weekly. You've got the full rundown of the many activities associated with St. Patrick's Day. And, of course, one of the founders of the Presidio being a Irishman. So there's a lot of history for Irish people. I mean, I'm half Irish. My mom's maiden name was Regan, just like your last name.
Way back,
yeah,
Bill.
Way back. We've got to be cousins somewhere, Margaret. But there's so much going on. It kind of all comes together with the parade, right?
Yeah, and the parade is going to be on St. Patrick's Day this year.
Yeah.
It works out for, so Friday, March 17th, the parade all through downtown. But the first big event is tomorrow night. at the Berger Performing Arts Center. A young and very energetic Irish traditional band will be there tomorrow night. They're called Goitia, which the guy I interviewed told me means come here in Irish. It can be either a nice come here, or in the case of him and his father, when he was angry, would say, Goitia, get Goitia. Over here. But anyway, they're a great band. They've been here before, and they're going to be performing with Tucson's own Celtic Steps Irish dancers. So that should be a very fun evening.
Margaret Regan, have fun at the Book Festival. Good luck. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by the Crown Jewel of Downtown, the Fox Tucson Theater. Still ahead in the month of March, Fox Theater shows include the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber, starring Terry Barber. That's Saturday, the 11th. Michael Bolton performs March 14th. And March 16th, the Fox welcomes Madeline Perot and Ricky Lee Jones. To view the full Fox Theater schedule and to purchase tickets, Madeline Perot and Ricky Lee Jones, March 16th, Michael Bolton, the 14th, music of Andrew Lloyd Webber, starring Terry Barber on March 11th, visit foxtucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw, Ray Allen, ably assisting Mike as they put together that hour. We do 3 hours tomorrow morning for the show called Wake Up Tucson, Talking Culture from 9 to 10, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. A very full agenda, including J.A. Jantz, the award-winning author, will be with me tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.